You know, when I was, is that good? Am I good? When I was getting ready this morning, I came up here and I was messing with the sheet music and I pulled out a couple of pages and I had my sermon in my hand and I grabbed the pages that I didn't need and then I grabbed my sermon and I crumpled them all up together. And I like looked, I was like, what the, so like literally like I'm dealing with a crumpled up sermon here. I hope that's not like a sign or something that like is, I don't know. Anyway, we're going to keep it short and sweet this morning because I'm in charge and I can do what I want. Who's going to tell me not to? Charles approves. Appreciate that. Also, there's no children's church this morning for those of you who have kids, you're acutely aware of. For those of you who don't, spoiler alert, no kids. And so, yeah, it's for the children. All right. Also for me, also for the fact that I don't really like long sermons, so I'm going to do all those things. As I was preparing for this week, Daniel told me that not only are we in between series right now, but also that he wasn't going to be here and I could say whatever I wanted. So if you have any issues this morning, talk to him. Not me. He said it. So, Daniel, if you're seeing this later on, it's on you, pal. Oftentimes when I'm preaching, if I'm not like in a part of a sermon series or if I don't have some specific direction that I really like feel in my heart like called to go towards, I will head to the lectionary. The lectionary is a compilation of scripture passages that are in a 3-year cycle that are used by most liturgical churches around the world. There are 2 readings that can vary, and then there's always a gospel reading and a psalm that are read. And so I will often go there and see, hey, what is the lectionary for April the 7th, which is today, 2024? And I'll just kind of read through all those passages just to kind of see if it sparks anything in me. And this time it did. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I read him, I'm like, it doesn't really connect to me anyway. But this time, the very first one I read, which was Psalm 133, jumped out at me. And you know what it says because you literally just sang it. Hence why I added that song this morning, right before the sermon. Because Psalm 133:1 simply says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in unity. Great, right? Sermon over. We already sang about it. We're good. Unity is easy. So, like, why even preach about it, right? Like, unfortunately, as you know, although Psalm 133 is beautiful and very simple to read, and it's a great concept, and you're like, oh yeah, of course. Like, who doesn't agree with that? Yeah, how good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. That is a great psalm. Love that. But anyone who lives in the world knows that living out that is far, far, far from easy, right? Unity is hard. Like, it's really, really complicated to dwell in community with people and, like, just live in unity all the time. Like, we all think differently. We all have different upbringings. We all have different desires for the world or for ourselves. We all have different kind of paths that we're on. And so unity is tough. So it got me thinking, how do we as a church live in unity, especially in our current society, which is so divisive all the time? Unity, if you don't know, is a huge goal of ours here at Meridian. We talk about it a lot. I mean, to be fair, I feel like unity should be a huge goal for any Christ-following people. But how? How do we be unified? Because unity and uniformity are different. We don't have to look the same or even think the same to live in unity. Those things are different. So, as I reflected this week, I was trying to look through the scriptures, look through all the examples I could see and think, man, what could I say that would help us to be unified? And I was drawn to none other than Jesus. I mean, he's a pretty good, I feel like he's a pretty good role model for all things. Anyway, I was looking at Jesus, and I was looking at not only his life and his actions, but I was drawn very specifically to the way that Paul describes him in Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, 6 through 8, Paul says this, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." As I read and reflected on this passage, I was just continually drawn to one thing, and that thing is humility. Humility is such a huge key to unity. Man, humility is paramount to unity. Humility is mentioned like three times alone in those three verses. It says he made himself nothing. He took on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself. Like, man, humility is huge. And I think that for me, as I wrestled with, man, what does it look like to live in unity? I think humility is key. If you know me very well, you might know that one of my favorite movies is Forrest Gump. And one of my favorite lines from that movie, which my lovely wife has to hear me say far too often, is, and I'll even do it in my Forrest Gump voice for you guys, just for fun. He says, "I may not be a smart man, but I know what love is." Yeah? You guys remember that part? Yeah, it's like, you know, when he's like trying to marry Jenny, but she doesn't want to. Yeah. You've seen it. Okay, got it. So, I hate to break it to you, but, like, I love that line, but I resonate with that so deeply, and I hope you do too, because I'm telling you what, I am not that smart, and I hate to be this guy. Maybe I shouldn't be the one telling you this, but neither are you. Maybe that's not what you came to church to hear this morning, like, but if nobody's ever told you that, like, hate to break, like, you're not that smart. Like, I'm sorry, like, you're just 1 in 8 billion, and that's just current people. Like, there's a whole lot of stuff in the world to know, and there are a whole lot of perspectives to be able to grab onto, and there is a whole lot of opinions on literally every single issue out in the world, and there are a lot of people who have thought a lot about it who disagree with each other. We see it every single day, and like, the fact of the matter is, like, you have your opinion, and that's fine. And you can read a lot, but you can't read enough. Like, there's not enough time in your life to, like, know everything or, like, figure it all out. Like, and not only that, that's just, like, the stuff here on earth, right? Like, think about the stuff, like, in the cosmos about God, like, that we're just, like, us little infinite, like, we live 70 years out of eternity. Like, we have such little capacity to really grasp the grandness of the universe. Like, we're so small. And so I think, like, to me, it's like, well, yeah, humility just makes sense, because fact of the matter is that I'm just not that smart. I'm just not. But again, in the words of old Forrest Gump, "I know what love is." I think that even though we are not that smart, we can really know what it is to love and to care for people and to serve others. And that, my friends, I think is the second key to unity. Again, we see it in this passage here about Jesus. Being unified means being humble and serving one another in love. It says that Jesus took on the nature of a servant and he served us. This reminds me of another one of Paul's decrees that is actually like one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. And it says this: "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." This is Galatians 5, verse 13. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Boy, it's all right there at the end, huh? Serve one another humbly in love. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. I think it's our freedom oftentimes that gets in the way. Like, we're not bound to a law book. We're not bound to any one thing. We are free to think and live and to explore. And there is a whole lot to know in this big wide world. And so when you're called to be free, like, there's a likelihood that your freedoms and somebody else's freedoms are gonna rub up against each other sometimes. Like, that's gonna happen. But how do you, my brothers and sisters, called to be free, continue to live in unity despite that? Does anybody out there, we'll do a show of hands. Does anybody have somebody that they know that they disagree with on some pretty important issues to you, but like you still respect that person and you still have a relationship with them, you still care about, like, you, what is that? Like, how do we do, like, how does that, is that mutual respect earned? Like, how do we get there? I think humility is a big part of it. Like, if you look at that other person and you think, you know what, I disagree with them, but what is that? But man, like, what do you say after that usually? But man, they're a good person. Like, they love people well. They're humble. They care about people. You know, there's always a but there, right? Like, think about that. What is that that causes that? And I think there's a whole lot of people out there that maybe think differently, that maybe you don't have that type of intimate relationship with to really know, but like, they're oftentimes they're probably in the same boat. Like, they're just trying to figure it out. They're just 1 in 8 billion also trying to know what it is that makes them them. Trying to figure out what it means. You may hear me pray often that, like, we want to know who God is and who he's created us to be. Like, they're trying to figure that out. And maybe they don't have language for it. Maybe they don't know what they're looking for. Maybe they have something that's in their way. But, like, man, I think that's most of us are just out here. I mean, don't you? Like, people are just trying to do their best out here. Life is hard. So I think that people who we disagree with, man, let's serve one another in love as Christ has called us to. For me to answer that question, it's definitely humility. Man, if somebody comes to me and says something I disagree with, but they're humble about it, it's fair game. Like, okay, yeah, no, I'm not with you on that, but it's cool. Like, I get you. For me, it's a willingness to be pursuing what it means to become the best version of yourself. It's this Galatians 5:13 that says, don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. And of course, again, you may find people that you don't agree on what the sinful nature is. That could be part of your disagreement. But like, do you see them as a person who's trying to pursue bettering themselves? Like, are they humble? Are they listening? Are they willing to work towards being better? Are you? Man, such big keys to unity. And again, I say unity does not mean uniformity. Like, we as the church, we don't have to look all alike. We don't have to think all alike. That's not what unity means. One of our former state pastors recently wrote an article that said, we serve one another with the understanding that unity does not require unanimity. We don't have to have a unanimous voice. We don't have to have a unanimous theology or doctrine or look or anything. Like, that's not what unity requires of us. We don't have to all think the same. Actually, we probably shouldn't. Thank God. You guys don't want to think like me. I'm real weird, and that's fine. That's okay. It's great, even. because our differences actually expose us to more of what humanity is. Our differences help us learn and grow, and that's good. Our differences challenge us to rise to new heights, and that's good. So, that's all I have to say about that. I'm going to have the worship team come up, and like I said, short and sweet, getting to the point. But I think that unity is so important, and I hope that you grabbed something today that challenges you, that encourages you. I hope that if you're feeling like, you know, you don't think like others here, that that's okay. I hope that if you are thinking that, boy, I wish they thought differently, well, maybe they think the same about you. I hope that as we continue to serve one another humbly in love, each other here in this space, our families, all those who come in contact with, we will experience how good and sweet and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity and praise the Lord. And despite all the divisions in the world, we're going to be all right. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful for you and this place, this opportunity to gather each week. We're thankful for just the unbelievable community that we have together here at Meridian. What a gift it is to just be able to gather and worship you. What a gift it is to sing together and to chat together out in the lobby and to just encourage one another, God. God, I pray that you would help us to look to you, Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and to humbly serve all those who we come in contact with. May humility and love unify us this morning, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.